This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dream.
Hey. Episode 51. Here we are, Producers Podcast. Thanks for checking it out. As per always, I will say the momentous occasion of episode 50 of the podcast is behind me now. Vanessa Marshall was that episode, and I will say I've got some great feedback on that one. She was a little different. You know, she's a lot more of a commercial, just a big time LA commercial VO, but she's done lots of radio imaging. So if you didn't get a check to check out, So if you didn't get a chance to check out the Vanessa Marshall episode, highly recommend you do so, especially if you are in the world of voice over or acting. It was fun times for all. She's been in Scrubs also, so that pretty much sealed it for me. This episode, we talked to Eddie Bauer. Eddie is a really good dude, just a real, you know, genuine guy living out in California, living the dream. We'll go into everything that he has done in the episode. I actually started a little reversed this time. I don't know why. I just decided to. We're going to talk a little more the tech, the geek, the gear, the studio stuff first. Then later in the end of part one and into part two, we go a little more into his background, where he's been, more theoretical stuff on the industry. So that's how this episode goes. Yes, it is a two-parter. I will also say I have episode 52 already in the can, still waiting on some audio from the guests. But yes, I am actually working ahead, believe it or not. Just checking these super talents off my list, and actually might have just made evidence that it was pluralized, but there are two guests in episode 52. The guys behind Splice. It is video for radio. It's a brand new service from our friends over at Grooveworks and Prod Squad. But two guys that I know, one I know pretty well now, Terry Phillips at WYCD in Detroit, amongst other things. Just a real good guy, Texas Terry Phillips, you might know him as. And then Drake Donovan over there in Pittsburgh, another just super talented imaging guy, but really good with video. Both of them really good with video. And the one thing that stood out to me about Drake was a couple of his tutorial videos I saw. He's very good at explaining stuff to dumb people. Me. I know almost nothing about video. I'm learning little bits as we go, you know, like how to put an intro on the front of a raw footage, and then that's it. Anyway, but seriously, he does great work. They do great work with video, but Drake's tutorials were really easy and clear to understand, and he teaches you some good stuff. So anyway, that's part of Splice, but we'll learn all about Splice in the next episode. We are going to kick things off with Eddie Bauer, and we'll hear some of his brilliant Short Bus radio audio. Yes, he is one of the main guys at Short Bus, and also at Virgin Radio in Toronto. So we'll kick off part two, FYI, with a Virgin Radio demo. And then, like I said, I'll come back at the end, give you any more news or notes or things that are going on the podcast or on my site. But for now, Eddie Bauer.
Now, New Rock Monkey. New Rock Monkey.
Pick a song, New Rock Monkey. You're a good boy. Oops, monkey fart.
Back to music.
Back to music.
Yes!
Back to music.
Hey, kids.
Time for
trick or treat.
Don't scare me, I poop easy.
What?
I pooped.
Candy?
Poop.
I'm out of here.
What the? Hey, my handheld social networking device is ringing. What do I do?
Answer it.
Oh, hello?
It's two for Tuesday.
Hey, Bob. Uh-huh. Got the results, and 4 out of 5 strippers prefer the sound of new music.
Why only 4? You run out of singles?
Oh, you stole my joke, you son of a...
What?
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 Huh?
New music.
Classic rock sex talk. Go ahead.
Hey, sweet thing. Who am I talking to?
Foxy lady.
All right, foxy lady. Let's do this, baby.
Won't you?
Oh, yeah. Speak to me, mama.
Won't you so bad?
Oh, tell me, foxy lady, what's it like, you know, down there?
Welcome to the jungle!
Oh, I'm gonna lose it.
And there we go.
Eddie Bauer is the guest, and there's a sampling, a short sampling of some of the amazing work he does for Short Bus Radio. Eddie, man, thanks so much for taking the time doing the podcast with me.
Oh, man, I'm happy to do it with you.
And I'll hear a little bit more about what you're doing with Short Bus in a minute, but I do want to start the interview off with a very hard-hitting. I'm just going to go for the jugular right out of the gate here. I heard, is it true that you were using an Orbin Odyssey up until 3 years ago?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, actually it's been about, it's been about 5 years. I had one in the, I had one in the house for a long time. And even when I was trying to make a transition over to a digital, a more native, DAW, I had the Odyssey in the house with me because, I would always wind up going back to the Odyssey because it was so fast, you know, I was so fast at it. But finally, one day I sold the Odyssey, got it out of the house, and I started working on a DAW. And
was it like pulling off a Band-Aid? Did you have to just sort of force yourself away from it?
Yeah, you know, I did. And, you know, Madrigal still uses a DSE, which was before the Odyssey. And I keep telling them, the only way you're ever going to learn a DAW is you've got to push that out of the house. But he refuses, and he's hard-headed, so.
I can say for me, you know, I was on Cool Edit for years. I mean, since it was invented, that's what I started on. And then I was actually on Cool Edit, you know, a long time. And the only way I moved to Pro Tools was because, you know, I was forced. I took a job where all they had was a Pro Tools rig, and I didn't have Cool Edit anymore. And I said, okay, and now I won't go back. But yeah, it was the same situation.
That's the only way you're gonna do it is to just get rid of everything you know and just sit down and do it.
Well, let's reverse my normal sort of structure a little bit. Let's talk some tech for a bit right out of the gate. What DAW are you currently using, and what are the different sequencers and workstations that you went through while you were learning to go away from the Odyssey?
Well, you know, I've been through them all, and I still. I'm still looking for that perfect DAW, and even though I'm currently using Audition CS6, which is they've really come around, and it's the close. I just love the plugins, you know, the new Isotope plugins that are in there, and but the closest I've come to a perfect DAW for myself is the Reaper. Mainly because it is totally customizable. Any way I want to use it, it's customizable.
You can tweak every single little thing about it. It's actually kind of like a computer nerd's DAW. It's like
You can even make it look the way you want.
Yeah,
you know, there's if you want, you know, Star Spangled Banner flags everywhere, you can do that. You know, if you really wanted to. I don't, by the way.
No?
No.
Well, and the other cool thing about Reaper is it's lightweight. Is that what you found? That it's just so lightweight, it doesn't suck up resources like most other programs?
Well, yeah, and you're not stuck with a bunch of useless plugins, especially for what we do. There's a lot of plugins out there that are pretty useless for us. How many reverbs do you need, you know, or choruses, you know? But when I first got off the Odyssey, it was WaveLab for me, and I really liked WaveLab because I was used to seeing the red and blue, the left track, right track of the red and blue, and WaveLab was the only DAW that had the red and blue tracks, so it was kind of easy for me to see what I was doing because I was used to seeing blue track left, right track red. And I know that's a silly reason to use a DAW, but actually, you know, WaveLab is the DAW that everybody goes to do their mastering in. You know, people in Pro Tools and people in Nuendo and all these big places that use these high-powered DAWs, they all do their mastering inside of WaveLab. So I thought, well, you know, why not just go to the master and do it in there? Because there's full editing capabilities, you know, inside WaveLab. So I really like that one.
I'm not familiar with WaveLab. What are the limitations? You know, like what are some of the negatives of it? Why would somebody not go with it?
Well, there's no virtual instruments.
Okay.
No, you can't use virtual. I don't know about the new WaveLab 7, but I don't think you can use instruments in it. It's more like a cool edit, what cool edit was back in the day, where, you know, okay. it's just basic, but it's the mastering plugins are phenomenal, and the meters and the bitrate meters and all the different, you know, analysis, you know, I mean, you could 3D analysis of your audio, so you could pick out problems or, mm-hmm. you know, it's a mastering suite. It was pretty much what it is with an editor built in. So it's not like a, you know, like a top of the line editor or anything, but this is fantastic. But that's pretty much it, was the VIs and the fact that you can't, you know how you, I'm sorry, shrink audio. Mm-hmm. Or time stretch.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the actual audio montage, which is the you know, the multi-track.
Yeah. So you have to pull it into a different part of the program in order to time compress, expand?
Yeah, you have to you know how you switch over and cool edit into that one screen
mix where view it's versus two tracks. View. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's like that. And the algorithm and the new algorithms in Reaper and Adobe Audition 6 are just fun. They're just phenomenal. I mean, you can't even hear it. You can't hear the.
Let me ask you about Audition 6. So you bring that up now. Did you use 1.5 or 3? I don't even know if they had a 2. Did you use any of the earlier versions of Audition?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I never did. I actually just tried CS6 when it came out. And I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, I know a lot of people who use Audition, even Cool Edit Pro, and do great stuff, but it was just never really for me. You know, I came right out of the Odyssey into a Steinberg products. WaveLab is a Steinberg product, and then Nuendo and Cubase. And I'm just used to the wave features, you know, the way it looks.
Yeah.
And I could never use that straight line thing, you know? That you'd get in Cool Edit. I know it's funny, it's all visual, but you know, CS6, I just got used to it, and it's a great program. I love it a lot.
And so you mentioned Nuendo products, and it sounds like you were bouncing through a bunch with Reaper and now the Adobe products. When you're using so many different, you know, your sessions are now spread across different products, that do you have to constantly have them all installed in case you need to go back to something you did 3 years ago? Or, you know, how do you deal with your workflow like that?
I don't think I'll ever go back 3 years. I don't keep stuff that long. If I need to redo something, I'll just redo it. I would rather it sound, you know, fresh anyway. But as far as my computer now, I have Reaper installed, just because there's a couple things that you can't do in CS6 in Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly for beat making, because of the time stretching, it's just a little easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have Nuendo because I do video stuff, and when I do, I haven't done it in a long time, but when I do, I'll use Nuendo, and so I keep them up to date. And let's see, what else do I have in there? Oh, Audition.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the whole Adobe suite, because I like the video stuff they do also.
Yeah. Just a humongous batch of tools. Let me ask you about Pro Tools. You have never mentioned it. I'm assuming you just haven't used it. Is there a reason you haven't, or have you tried it and didn't like it?
I have had, let's see, I tried Pro Tools 2.
Okay.
Pro Tools 5.
Yeah.
And then I even tried the new Pro Tools 9. I actually bought them. I bought Pro Tools 2 back in, what is it, 98 or 99?
Yeah.
I bought the Pro Tools 5 again because I thought I want, you know, everybody says, oh, you got to learn how to use it. It's the greatest thing ever. You know, I don't like it. I don't like it. I've actually owned Pro Tools twice, and then I tried the latest version. And even though the latest version is a lot better and would probably be a lot easier to use for me, I don't like being stuck in a world where, you know, you have to use Pro Tools plugins, or you have to use, you know, it's like being attached to a Mac. You have to buy Apple stuff for it.
I'll absolutely agree. Pro Tools is kind of like the Mac of these things when it comes to that, as far as what they'll let you do, what they'll let you change and tweak. Yeah. And, man, my biggest complaint with Pro Tools is that, you know, the hotkeys, the shortcuts, there, you can't edit them, and you can't really turn them off and on, and some of them are global and some of them are session, you know, and it's yep. all controlled by the software. It's frustrating.
I know. I don't want to upset any Mac and Pro Tools guys out there, but I could go on and on and on how much yeah. I hate that the program and Macs.
Well, for me, the stuff I like outweighs the stuff I don't like. And, you know, but there's definitely, I mean, there's people still using SAW out there. There's people that use Vegas for audio. There's people that use lots of other programs. So, you know, to each his or her own. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And those people using SAW and Vegas, you know, I've heard some phenomenal. phenomenal.
Yeah, that word. That
production.
Stuff. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, it doesn't matter what you use. I mean, it all comes down to what it sounds like when it comes out. You know.
Yeah, man. So like I said, I'm flipping the script, as it were, on this podcast just for the heck of it. So let's talk some more gear. You know, you're working 100% out of your home studio. Is that true?
I am.
That's awesome. Congrats. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are jealous.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been doing it for quite a while, and I got lucky enough, and you will too, you know, eventually get lucky enough to work out of your house. Yeah.
So
I'm actually wearing a brown shirt with blue shorts today.
So you picked out the wardrobe for people,
and no one's going to know,
right?
That's awesome.
Well, did you sleep in that, or did you at least dress in different clothing than you slept in?
No, I showered for you.
You showered and everything. Well, that's nice.
I did.
I feel good.
I even have underwear.
Underwear and everything. Nice.
Yeah, underwear and everything.
So tell me about the studio setup you have there. Is it a nice, like, just fancy treated room with a little whisper room in the side or anything like that? Or are you just pretty much in a closet with just junk? What do you got there?
No, I'm actually, this is my hockey shrine /studio.
Okay.
And, so I've got, you know, Stanley Cups everywhere and all my little hockey men. And autographs and stuff. And
I don't mean to interrupt again. Do you have pictures of this? I feel like I might have seen. Have you posted pictures on your Facebook or something with your studio?
There might be one or two floating around out there. Yeah, I'll send you one.
Yeah, cool. People would love to see it. But yeah, I think I knew you were. Well, I mean, you were in Canada for a long time, so you have to like hockey, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a big a big Maple Leafs fan. That was one of the perks of going to Toronto was. Getting to go to a Leafs game.
Were you a fan of the Maple Leafs before you went to Toronto?
Yes.
Nice. Excellent. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I've been very lucky in this business. That was just a bonus. But let's see. But other than that, it's just a desk. I have a iMac, which I'm not happy to own, but I do own it. And two Yamaha monitors sitting right next to those. No, I have no outboard gear.
Okay.
I got rid of the Eventide probably 4 years ago, and everything is inside now.
The 3000?
The 3000B.
Okay.
Which was the broadcast edition.
Yeah.
It was the yellow one, yeah.
The black
the yellow
one?
Buttons. It was black, but it was had the yellow buttons. It was
yep,
the broadcast
black with
edition.
Yellow buttons. Yep, I had one of those at the station. Yep.
Yeah, which got me through, you know, probably 10 or 15 years of radio. They're amazing products.
Mm-hmm.
And I use I have a PC, which is my audio or internet computer, and then my Mac is my audio computer.
Yeah.
And then so the PC runs through a Lexicon, a little Lexicon Alpha, and then that runs into a the Focusrite DSP 24 Pro 24, which is the Mac audio box. Yeah. And that's pretty much it. I don't run the Mac into the PC, just the PC into the Mac, because I get most of my audio from, offline.
Yeah, right. Internet.
You know, and yeah, internet and yeah. Audio sites, and that's pretty much it.
And what I don't think I know. How much voice work are you doing?
Not doing a lot of voice work.
Okay, so but you have some sort of a cool mic there, and you're talking into it now. Do you have a quality mic?
I am talking into it, and it is the brand new RE320.
Oh.
Which is a, they have the RE20 and the
yep.
RE27.
Yep.
Which, and this is the new one, which is in between those two. The 27 had, it was a little too high. You know, the highs were really...
Mm-hmm.
I guess you'd call them dominant in that mic.
Mm-hmm.
And the RE20 was really flat. This one's in between. You know, so you got the highs and the flatness, but it sounds really nice, I think. It's more of a kick drum mic, but I like it a lot.
Okay.
I had the MK16, you know, the shotgun mic that everybody has.
The 416?
Yeah, the 416, yeah.
Yeah.
And, maybe it's just me, and I hate the sound of my own voice. So, but yeah, I didn't like it very much, so I got rid of it.
Well, you have a lot of low end in your voice, I'm thinking. So, and I think that might accentuate that a little too much. Is possible?
Maybe.
I don't know. What do I know?
Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, you got it, man. so you're working all in the box there on your iMac. And what kind of aftermarket plugins do you like to use?
Oh yeah, I got the Waves Diamond Bundle.
All right,
which I only use probably one or two out of them.
With the L1 or?
No, I don't even use the L1. I use the limiter.
Oh okay.
Is that the L3? One of them's a compressor and one of them's a limiter.
I use the L3 limiter.
The limiter and. The MV2,
yeah,
I believe it is what I like to finish my products with, or my audio when I'm running it through the master chain. I don't like to put a lot of, especially working with Shortbus, because people like to put their sauce on top of it after they're done with it,
mm-hmm.
And I don't want to put. You know, so much compression or you know, hit sauce on it at, you know, during the process that they get it and they compress it again after they put their voices in it, and it just sounds like mud.
Because then it's still going to go through the station chain, which
and
if you're dealing with CHR or rock or alt, I mean, it's still just getting slammed. Yeah,
yeah, it sounds horrible. So I try to lay off as much as the mm-hmm. limiters or compressors and all that kind of stuff, because they're going to get it and compress it again, then it's going to get compressed through the air chain. So a lot of the stuff I use is free stuff. And let me just see while I'm here. The Blue Cat, I love the Blue Cat audio stuff and media production. But mainly the reason why I started using CS6 from Audition is the plugins in there are just are fantastic. I mean, they've really come around, especially with Isotope. Isotope is doing some kind of stripped down versions of their plugins.
I was going to say they're giving away almost sort of demo versions where it doesn't have all the features.
Well, yeah, they're not like, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to use these.
What is it, like Ozone, or what are they giving you with that?
The basic stuff: a compressor, a limiter.
Oh, okay.
More mastering type stuff, but they sound so clean. And it's not like the stuff you're gonna spend $2,000 on, where you have to, you have to study for a year just to use one.
Mm-hmm.
they have, you know, broadcast. Hey, you know, I'm a broadcast guy. I'm going to go ahead and use that one. And then if you don't like it, you could tweak it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the presets are almost good enough to use like they are.
I think to me that's usually a pretty big selling point with plugs. If they come with really good presets, it makes them almost twice as good. Because
exactly, yeah.
If you're not too used to tweaking, you know, some of these more complicated EQs and that are all, you know, it's a bunch of knobs in front of your face, and you're like, well, what the hell does all this do? But then it has 57 different presets, and you're like, oh, okay, well, they do it for me, and that makes it worth its weight. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. It's so easy. I was using Sonar for a while. Yeah, I told you, I've been through them all.
I was going to say, so I guess the only ones I mean, you even said you used Pro Tools or you tried it. Have you actually, I mean, what haven't you used? Did you try using Saw at any point?
You know, I bypassed the Saw.
Okay.
But I have used it when I worked at, Star when Kelly was at KISS, and I got to use her, her little program there, and oh my God, I don't know how she does it.
Well, let's shift gears a bit then. I mean, you mentioned Star. When were you there? I'll get an idea for where we are in your career, but when were you actually over there at Star?
I was at Star. It was funny. When I was at Power 106 for 5 years, and that's kind of where I gained some, I guess, notoriety.
Right.
And I was up for the gig at K-Rock along with Kelly. And along with this third guy that, you know, from Canada that nobody ever knew.
his name was Trevor.
Yeah. We didn't know it at the time, but it was this third guy that was involved from Canada, and we were like, fuck, guy, whatever. But Kelly took the KISS gig, and I took the Star gig, and Trevor obviously got the K-Rock gig. And I'm sure he got it before we decided to take those other. I'm not saying, you know.
Right.
I'm sure they decided on him before that. But we, and so I worked at Star with Kelly right at the very beginning. When she first got there, I was already there for maybe a month.
I didn't know that. So you're saying that the KISS and Star, and then over there at CBS, the K-Rock gigs were all kind of open at the same time?
They were at the same time, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that happens once every blue moon.
I was going to say, I mean, when does that happen? I mean, that'd be like KTU, Z100, and also, I don't know, insert another big, humongous New York City state, Hot, all opening up at the exact same moment. I don't know.
I know, and you think you have your pick. So actually, I was in Dallas for a while, too.
Were you at Eagle? Where were you?
I was at the Eagle in the Mix, yeah, for 8 months.
That's what I thought. So let's actually go in a little bit more order here. You kind of tell me whereabouts you started. What was your first big job? You know, like you're like, okay, I'm going to do this for a living. I figured that out.
That was Y107 in 1996, 95 or 96, maybe 97. I met a girl at K-Frog, which was the station I was at, which is out in San Bernardino. It was a big country station.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, hey, I got this, you know, new gig at Y107's and startup radio station in Los Angeles. And she said, I'll take your resumes down there. And I said, yeah, I was the first one, you know. I had my resume in my pocket. So I gave it to her, and I met a guy down at Y107 named Chuck Dowd, who was the imaging director. And I didn't, at the time, I wanted to be a commercial production director.
Okay.
I think that was the most secure place in radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I want to do that. And I was the assistant production director / promotions guy out at K-Frog. And Chuck heard something that he liked, and he took me in and I had this horrible studio. I don't know if you remember Y107?
No, honestly, I didn't want to sound stupid, but I don't remember it at all.
It was it started up in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, and it was K-Rock. It was a competitor. Well, you know, we like to think we were competitors with K-Rock, but it was a modern rock station kind of going up against K-Rock or trying to go up against K-Rock, but didn't have a very good signal.
Yeah, I moved out of L.A. in the early 90s, and I wasn't really in radio yet until 98, 99. Okay. So, yeah, I didn't have that much focus there, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and, so at first we were doing really well. We were attacking, you know, we were the not-so-famous Y-107.
Yeah.
And anyway, Chuck Dowd was the imaging director there, and he took me in, and I said my studio was horrible. I mean, I had a 4-track reel-to-reel, and he had this brand-new Orban DSE, which was, you know, I mean, we were testing it. That's how new it was, you know, and it was fantastic. And so I would sit there. I would go in early, like from 6 to 10, and do my work, my dubs or whatever I had to do. And then I would sit there and watch him from 10 to 6 to 7 o'clock all day long. I would watch him do imaging. And he was – if he would have stayed an imaging guy, he would have been he would have had his own – he would have been, you know, Frost and Chase, you know, that kind of epic.
So where did he go? What happened?
He decided he wanted to do morning show. Okay. And he's doing a morning show in Virginia Beach right now. He's, you know, super happy, and I'm happy for him and stuff. But if he would have stayed an imaging director, he would have been one of the top guys right now.
Yeah.
And anyway, he taught me everything I know, and I did that for – I watched him for 2 years until he decided he didn't want to do it anymore, and I kind of just slid into the gig. And that was it. Y-107 went Spanish. I went to Dallas, met Jimmy Steele there. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, 6 months later, Jimmy Steele came out to Power 106 and said he wanted to bring kind of like a rock attitude towards hip-hop imaging.
Yeah.
Which at the time, you know, wasn't being done. And so we did that. And I stayed at Power for 5 years.
And that was when, 98, 99, 2000?
Yeah, 98, 99. Okay. 2001, 2002, yeah. 2003, 4, somewhere around there. And then... Mm-hmm. I can't take hip hop music, dude. Honestly, I mean,
I
can't do it. Oh yeah, I can't do it.
It's so horrible. You'd rather work at like a country station than a hip hop station or something?
Totally.
Really interesting.
You got to have fun with the music that you're, you know. And they wanted these promos, these exciting big promos with a Snoop Dogg bed underneath it.
Yeah.
And you know, at the time, it was. R&B was taking over the hip hop thing, you know.
Oh yeah.
So you were getting these really slow beds.
Yeah.
And they wanted this big and massive production out of, you know, and it was horrid. I just couldn't do it. So anyway, I decided, why not go to I'm gonna go to Star for a while, and they really needed somebody over there, and I met Angela Pirelli, who's an amazing PD. And who turns out to be the wife of Chris Abbott, my PD in Toronto. It's all in the family, man.
Oh, it's all I've learned one thing. Radio is nepotistic as can be. That's the way it is. It's good.
Oh, yeah. Good word. Shit, I'm going to write that down.
I think it's spelled with a Q.
Nepotistic. All right. And then so Star, but and then Angela left a Star, and after 6 months, and some guy came in and said, "Oh, you know, you're fired. You make too much money," and they fired me. That's Clear Channel, though. You know, I got caught in one of those waves. You know, the Clear Channel waves where they just kind of throw everybody out. And then I started working for Premier, and I was doing a service with Premier for about 5 years. And that fell through, and then I did my own service for a while. I don't know if you remember that. It was called Radio Rodeo.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I didn't get to use it, but I'm aware of it for sure.
I believe I sent you a demo because I knew you were at a country station.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, that didn't work out. Nobody was ready for that, for my style of country branding. So that kind of flopped. Anyway... But as I was at Y-107, and I was on my way to Dallas, which was a J-Corps station at the time, I got this phone call, and it was from some guy named Mike Madrigal, And he worked at Clear Channel here, or J-Core here in Los Angeles. And I've heard of Mike. I mean, I was a big fan of Mike back in the day. And he called me up and said, "Hey, man, you know, my name is Mike, and I work, and I just wanted to welcome you to the J-Core family." I was like, "Wow, that's pretty freaking cool." You know, never had that happen before. And that's how I started my relationship with Mike Madrigal. And over the years, we've stayed really close and really good friends. And when I was down and out, and I thought nothing was ever going to happen for me again after, you know, you're in radio, times are hard, you know, and they were worse probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. They were.
And, you know, radio wasn't working out. I lost, I still had gigs and stuff, but anyway, Mike came through and hooked me up with Short Bus. He said he's always wanted me to work at Short Bus with him. And I've always known Paul and Paul Barr and Joe Edwards. They're really good friends of mine. And so they let me do some Short Bus stuff with them, and it worked out. And that's what I've been doing for the last few years. It's awesome.
Just to go back a little bit, by the way, I do want to say Mike is a good guy. Anyone who knows him knows he's a really nice guy. I met him in L.A. 2 years ago-ish, maybe a year and a half. One of the talented guys.
You make friends with Mike, and you get a friend forever.
The Producers